Welcome to the Faith-Led Business Podcast, a home for entrepreneurs who want to take their God-given gifts and use them to strategically create a legacy of success for themselves and the people that they serve. My name is Monica Perez Burnett. I am your host, mom of eight with two sets of twins. I am a visibility coach, lover of all things tech, and I aim for you to live a life of faith over fear. Good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Happy Sunday. It is another episode of the Faith-Led Business Podcast, and today we are going to be talking all things productivity. Now, productivity is a word that many people that I know have big issues with. They spend a lot of time basically saying, I have so much to do, so little time, and while I feel I'm doing my work, it ends up being more busy work than actual work that is productive. And so this seems to be a really big issue, I would say, for everyone, but especially when you're talking with mompreneurs, people who are dealing with not only business, but a family that they have to raise and God has given them. And then there's just all the things. You're trying to juggle all the things. And today we are going to take a faith-based look, a faith-based perspective into productivity and what that means from a different lens, from a different perspective. So we're going to start right here in Genesis 1:14. This is going to be a jam-packed session, so you may want to grab a pencil and a paper because there are a lot of little notes that I took for this. And this one, I usually don't prepare for these, but I saw the headline on this day's and God led me to a video that I'm going to give you kind of the cliff notes of it closer to the end here. So it says, God said, let there be light in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. Sacred times and days and years. Have you ever stopped to think, why am I doing everything that I do? Is this really God's will for my life? Or is this just what I think I'm supposed to do? That is a valid question, and I know each and every one of you have asked yourself that. Questions like these can wake us up. They can shake us out of living life in default instead of according to God's design. The symptoms of a life lived by default are mechanically going through our days, probably feeling unsatisfied, unmotivated, and doing what everyone else is doing. Did you ever watch the movie Groundhog Day or Groundhog's Day, something like that? Same thing over and over again on repeat. God has truly planned so much more for us than this. Time is sacred. Let's throw off the default life and learn to spend it wisely and well. Let's prayerfully take an inventory of where our time goes and how that aligns with God's plan. We always have the one true God to guide us, the one who lovingly formed us and numbered our days. Okay, so productivity, faith-led productivity. You know that you can go online and find so many different ways in which you can frame the whole idea of productivity in your life. But today we're going to be taking a look at what the Bible says about productivity. And it actually doesn't really use the word productivity that much, but what it does use is a word equivalent to productivity, and you find it all over the place in His Word. And so, I wrote down a few little notes for you today to help you kind of help me walk through this as well. So the Bible's word for productivity is bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. How many of you have read scripture that has the words bearing fruit in it. You'll find it many, many, many times, and you will find it in all the gospels. And the reason being is that after this, once we are done with this, you will see how truly important it is for us as entrepreneurs, because that is the audience here, but everyone in general, to pay very close attention to the detail of how our life is bearing fruit. So let's jump into this scripture really quickly. John 15:16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." Fruit that will last. Make an underline under "that will last." "And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." So, a few key words in this scripture here. You didn't choose me. You didn't ask for this. But guess what? I created you and I chose you for this day and time. And not only did I choose you, but I appointed you. So one thing is to be chosen and to love. You know, you've heard of children who may have gone through the adoption process, and their adoptive parents will say, "I chose you." But apart from being chosen and loved deeply, he also has appointed us. And to be given an appointment, in other words, an assignment, is a very active word. To be chosen, I feel loved, I feel awesome, I feel so good. But to be appointed requires the knowledge of your appointment and the walking out of your appointment. And so this being appointed so that you might go and bear fruit, be productive, create a result and an outcome of walking out your appointment. And not only have it be fruit that's just going to grow and then rot, but fruit that will last. That is a very, very important point, because I believe many times in our entrepreneurial journey, we will do things that will give us a quick, immediate success, a quick, immediate win. And while that's great, and we do need some stepping stones to kind of get us in momentum of our business and building confidence in what we're able to create, the ultimate goal is to bear fruit that will last, which means fruit that will go from generation to generation. You know, the big word legacy that people talk about a lot when they're in conferences and listening to these great motivational speakers, and they'll always be talking about legacy, building legacy. God has not only chosen you, but he has appointed you to create legacy, so that whatever you ask in his name, the Father will give you. Ultimately, as we walk out our appointment, one of the things that we should have in the back of our minds as a form of motivation is, one day he will ask, "What did you do with what you were given?" What did you do with what you were given? Yesterday, we were talking about your gifts and how important and unique each and every one of your gifts is. Your gifts is your assignment. It is your appointment of how you show up powerfully in the world to be that change maker. Are we sitting on our gift? And on that day, will we be able to say, yes, I did something with it or not. One of the things that, and I don't know, if that's not motivating to you, it motivates me. It's like, oh shoot, I need to just get up and get moving. I need to start putting these things into action. And here's the thing, God is not going to be judging you on how big your fruit is, how successful your fruit was in terms of, you know, were you on a stage, were you this like huge influencer, you know, all of these different things. The size does not matter to him. What matters to him is if it will last or not. Is your fruit going to last or not? So let's talk about four different areas. And I got these from Rick Warren was talking about productivity and faith. And so I grabbed some notes from the sermon that he gave. And I thought it was going to be really powerful for you entrepreneurs who struggle with productivity and don't know what it really looks like. This isn't like what I'm giving you right now isn't the details of productivity. How do I, you know, order my day? We can get into that in another moment. But this is the overall picture, the framework that you need for productivity, because if it doesn't come from this foundation, the things that you put in your planner and the things that you start creating in order to create a result will not bear the fruit that you're looking for it to bear, because it is not founded in these areas. And so there are four different areas of fruit. Let's take a look at them really quickly. The first one is the fruit of repentance. It means walking away from my old ways to take on a new form. It means walking away from self-centeredness and into a service mode. It means feeling sorry for what has been done, but you know that doesn't define you, and being free from that gives you the ability to move forward boldly in what you have been called to do. The next fruit is fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit involves, if you go into Galatians, you can see the long list of the fruits of the Spirit, but what it comes down to is your character. How are you evolving your character so that when people know you, they'll know you by your character? Are you a person of integrity? Are you a person of your word? Can people vouch for you? Are people able to leave you a review or a testimonial that's positive? How are you being seen in other people's eyes, where someone walks up to them and tells them a lie about you and they know your character so well that they're like, oh, no, 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 there's no way. There's got to be a misunderstanding or someone's making something up. But that's not Monica. That's not this person. The fruits of the Spirit, if you are working and living in and through those, your character is what shows up. The other fruit he is wanting us to bear is the fruit of bringing other people to know Christ. You guys know that if there is a apple tree, it grows apples. If there is a dog, it has puppies. If it's a cat, it has kittens. If it's an elephant, it has baby elephants. Humans have humans. But Christians, our job is to procreate in the sense that I'm not keeping this amazing news to myself. The fruit that I am bearing in the world and that is long-lasting is being able to show other people who the hope of glory is. is being able to bring other people to know a God who loves them so much that they are able to turn from the lies that they've been fed from the moment they were born and turn to truth. So another way to bear fruit is in our speaking to others and representing Jesus so that people are like, wait a minute, what's so different about you? Why are you so different? Can you tell me? How are you able? How is it that you differentiate yourself from everybody else around you? Why is it that you are unshakable? Why is it that you are unmoved? Why don't people like push your buttons as easily? Why is all of this happening? People do what you do, not what you say. At least that's what they say about children. But I believe that adults end up doing that as well. And the last one is the fruit of ministry, service through our gifts. So, so important to acknowledge and accept that appointment and move through with it. So let's go into another area of bearing fruit, because we all know that in order for a fruit tree to grow, they're usually pretty large sized, you need to have roots. And so we're going to talk a little bit about roots, because that is going to give you the ability to stand strong, to stand the test of time, and move into your walking out of creating the productivity and creating the margin that you need in your life in order to do the things that you need to do within the time frame that you have. So let's take a look at Psalm 1, 2 through 3. It says, "But those who delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law," or meditates, sorry, "and who meditates on this law day and night." So those who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate it day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. So what is the key? You need to meditate on God's word day and night, because that person is like a tree. If a tree or a plant does not have water, what happened? It wilts up and it dies. But the ones who stay connected to their source of life, in this case, the tree, it's like being planted next to a stream of water. So you are never lacking. You are never thirsting. You are always full. You always have movement of the Spirit in you and the overflow that you need. It will yield fruit. It will yield fruit. So interesting. Rick was saying that in California, which is where I'm from, the redwoods are amazing. They live hundreds and hundreds of years, but they even have the ability to withstand fire. There have been fires in areas where there are redwoods, and even though the fire has gotten to them, they continue growing and they continue standing. And so people have studied them and said, why is it that they have this amazing ability to withstand the heat? How are you able to withstand the heat that life is throwing at you right now? And even though you may get a little burned by people or situations or circumstances, you're still able to grow and stand strong. Well, one of the ways is because redwoods, they don't have super, super, super deep roots. They kind of have like middle ground roots, But one of the things that they do do is they grow in groves, which means there's a large amount of redwoods all together in an area. And because they are together in a grove, those weeds, their roots intertwine on the bottom. Therefore, if you were to like take an X-ray vision lens and look down into the ground, you would be able to see them connecting one with the other. And can you imagine? If one tries to fall, the others are going to hold it up. There is no movement of those trees because they are so interlocked and intertwined that even fire, even weather, even strong winds, whatever it may be, does not move them. Who do you need to be intertwined with so that you are not moved? Apart from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Who do you need to lock arms with so that when the heat comes, you are not burned? So that when the winds come to blow you down, you are unmovable. Take inventory of where your roots are and who they are intermingling with. As a person, as well as a faith-led entrepreneur. Because this is one of the things that I have learned recently, or had more conviction in, is I need to be careful where I'm learning things from. Not everything that bears fruit is good. Not everything that bears fruit is good. And so we need to see, am I taking the time to learn from people who are in alignment with my values? Or am I just looking to them to make some instant money? To bear quick fruit that will grow quickly and blossom fast, but that fruit will wither and die and rot quickly. Versus someone who is able to find other people who are in alignment, just like that redwood grove, and what you create from there is long-standing. Do you see the difference? And so this past week, I went through the people that I follow. And some of them are people that are like really big influencers. And yet I had to evaluate, because I need to make sure that the stream that I am drinking from is going to give me life in all aspects. And my business is driven by my CEO, not by the tactics, not by the strategies, but by him. And so if I'm being fed by other people who do not believe in him, then that is going to deviate me from my purpose. Now, for some people that may seem extremist, but the truth is, it said in John 16, you need to follow in your appointment. And in Psalm 1:2-3, it's saying, I want you to meditate on my word day and night. That will be sufficient, because then you bring to me what you need. And in John 15, it's saying, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. The importance of connection to people who are feeding you actual truth, not just strategy, is very important in the life of a faith-led entrepreneur. Extremely important. To bear fruit, I must eliminate the weeds in my life. Have you guys noticed that it's so much easier for a weed to grow than a beautiful flower, plant, vegetable, or fruit to grow? Have you noticed how easy that is to happen? And so sometimes those weeds, because there are so many of them, it's very easy to get confused and to get distracted by those weeds. Very easy to get distracted. And so that is why it's very important for us to not only have our roots, but be available to the pruning that God wants to have in our lives. And pruning, my friends, can be a very painful process. I heard the story of a famous rose specialist. And he had the most beautiful roses ever. He could grow roses like no other. And when someone went to go and take a look at how he did it, one thing really surprised him. Because he was pruning not only the dead leaves and that kind of stuff that looked kind of withered, but he was even pruning off parts of the rose that looked perfectly healthy and parts of the rose that even had some little buds of roses on them. And he was like, oh my gosh, why are you doing that? That looks like it's going to create a beautiful rose. Why are you cutting all of that off? And if any of you have looked at roses when they're pruned or a rose bush, they're like small and just like not that great looking. But God says in his word, you need the pruning. My pruning for you is great. Do you know why? Because what will come out is even better. So right now in your life, you may have some things that you know are not in your best interest. And those are really obvious to you. And so if God were to say, let's go ahead and prune that, you would say, yeah, that makes sense. Let's go ahead and do that. It's obvious. That's a distraction. That's not leading me to good things. Let me go ahead and prune that. Yep, let's do it. But when God says also, let me go ahead and prune this thing that is actually good, that may be bearing fruit in the moment, and he says, let's pull back on that, and you're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is going really well. And you may be in a place right now where God is asking you, it's time to do some pruning in this thing that you actually think is good in this moment, that's actually blooming in this moment. And for those of you who have an idea and it's about to sprout, and God may be saying, you know what? I may need to just prune that as well. And you're like, wait a minute, that's the best idea ever. It really is. And no, I don't want to let go of that. Or I've been working so hard to get to this place and time, and you're asking me to let it go? What's going on? Don't you love me? Don't you have my best interest at heart? Don't you see all the work, blood, sweat, and tears I've put into this? And he may be saying, we need to prune this because you have no idea. You have no idea what I have for you by eliminating this. And so, my friends, he is the one who dictates our days and nights. He is the one who can design or has designed, and we just need to step into that design. And sometimes it takes building those deep roots, which require time with him, that skin to skin that we've been talking about, that require building our character and growing those fruits of the spirit. It may require activation of our gifts and building legacy. It may require that fruit of repentance where we are just moving away from those things that are self-centered, those things that are distractions. And he's saying, I promise you, the deeper that you dig those roots in, the more I will give you water to drink. And your leaves will never die. And you will keep the ones that you are supposed to keep, and they will be long-lasting, just like those redwoods, and they will bear much fruit. And the day when you actually get to meet him, because the stats are one out of every one, you will get to meet him. Those of you who believe, when you get to meet him, will you be able to say, will you be able to respond to, what did you do with what you were given? It requires sacrifice. It requires letting go of our own timeline of expectations. It requires patience in the waiting, because when you prune a rose bush, it may take months. It could be up until the next year that you actually see fruit out of that. And like I said, those things that are being pruned may not just be the stuff that's obviously dead. It could be the healthy growing parts and the budding parts. And we have to be in such tight accord with him that when he says, and Holy Spirit whispers in your ear, it's time to let go of that. I want you somewhere else. I need you to do this instead. That is when it's the true test. The true test of who we are in him. The true test of being entrepreneurs who believe that being productive is, and bearing fruit in that sense, is our primary purpose. That is the primary purpose of why we are here. Because we are not just chosen, but we are appointed as well. And so, while this wasn't like a to-do list of how to be more productive, we can get into that at another time, this is a framework. This is a framework for us to be okay with. To know that there are certain things that we need to grow deep, certain things that we need to let go of, because we do not want to be like those tumbleweeds. Have you seen those tumbleweeds? They just go all over the place. They have no roots. You don't want to be like a tumbleweed. And honestly, for many of us, our days are like tumbleweeds. They go wherever the wind is flowing, and you're reacting to whatever's coming at you. And the kid walks in, and something happens here, and the tech isn't working, and this person stops subscribing or stopped buying from you, and you're just like, boom, 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 it's just hitting at you from all ends. Are you going to be like the tumbleweed, or are you going to be like the redwood? Or are you going to be like those cactuses where their roots go out like 50 feet underground? Nothing's going to move those things. And God is saying, I am going to give you an everlasting and never-ending stream, your source of life that you need in order to make this happen for you, in order to live the life that I have appointed for you, in order to bear much fruit, not a little bit of fruit. He said, I want you to bear much fruit. And so today our calling is to take a long and hard look at those things that need to be pruned, at making it a priority to dig those roots deep. Because often we say, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time for God. I'm too busy right now. Maybe the reason why you are too busy is because you haven't spent time there. I can guarantee it. Because God's way of doing business is with ease and it's effortless, believe it or not. Why? Because there are no longer worries. We talked about worry a few days ago. There is no worry. Therefore, there is peace in the process. And there is action in the process. And there is expectation in the process. When you prune those roses, you're not expecting it to die. You're expecting it to have the most beautiful showing of roses. And not only that, the aroma of those roses you can smell down the street. What is your aroma right now? What kind of fruit are you bearing? And what kind of aroma is it giving? Because people can smell it, even through the internet. They can smell the aroma that you are giving off. And I know that he is excited today because you are all ready to step up to the plate to make sure that your roots are deep and to make sure that the aroma that you are giving off is nothing but him. And that scent is going to bring people to smell of his sweet essence in their lives. They are going to overcome them with his love, and you will be impacting the kingdom because you decided to bear much fruit. So let's go ahead and pray this day in, because we're going to be getting ready for our week next week. And that is our plan. That is our framework where we are going to go from right there. So Father, we thank you so much for the ability to see the framework for our business in all different areas straight from your word. You tell us not to worry, that you've got it taken care of. You tell us to turn away from things that are not of you so that we can be in you and work through you in our businesses. You tell us to continue digging deeper, because in Revelations you told us, if we don't dig deeper, even though we have signs of following you, you will take away our platform. You will take away our influence because it's deceptive to others. We can't say we believe one thing and do something different. That is deception. And so today, Lord, we are just asking you to help us be consistent in drinking from the right waters. Help us to dig in deep. Help us to eliminate the weeds that are suffocating our faith life, which should be first, so that everything else can flow from it. He's saying, I have chosen you. I have appointed you. And once you realize that, and once you are with me, guess what? Then go ahead and my Father will give you what you ask for. Lord, help us to get our priorities in straight in our lives. We don't have time because we don't make time for you. And you have given us the wisest counselor to help us direct our planner. And so today we put ourselves in your hands and we ask that this new week we start the pruning process and that you give us the courage to let go of the things that we like to do, the ideas that we've liked to have, yet you are saying, I have bigger and better in store for you. We thank you for your faithfulness in this, Father, and we are here for it. We ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, guys, that was good. That was really good. And I know that as we stay open to this process, we are going to see some amazing things happening in our lives now and in the future, because the fruit that we are going to bear is long lasting. I hope you have a fantastic day with your family. I hope you had a great time yesterday for the 4th of July. We had some fireworks that we were watching outside, so everybody went to bed a little bit late, but it was really fun. So I hope you guys had a fabulous time as well with your families, and I will see you again tomorrow morning. Let's see what he has in store for us. God bless everybody. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.